Take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to the book of Judges. The book of Judges. I want to share with you the thought that God's put on my heart, and I hope it'll be a blessing. We're going to begin in. I'm just going to read one verse for the text, and then we'll be all over these chapters, looking at the life of Gideon. I believe it'll be a blessing to you. I've been reading it now over and over and over. Even last night, I picked up Alexander Scorby, and I think it's a blessing to hear somebody pronounce these Old Testament names the way they're supposed to be pronounced. For all these years, they changed Gideon's name to Jerubbaal, and I've been saying Jerubbabel. I don't know how I got that, but anyway, I found out last night I've been pronouncing it wrong. Amen. It's okay to know you're wrong about something, isn't it? Try to correct it along the way. Amen. But in Judges chapter number 6 and verse 34, the Bible said, "But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him." I want to talk about this man named Gideon today, talk about the situation in chapter 6, 7, and 8. And I'd call the message today, "Winning with God Against All Odds." Winning with God Against All Odds. While the choir was singing, I sat there and thought about something. You know, I can only see it one way. Perhaps Gideon was the same way. This will be part of the message today. But you understand that Gideon had 32,000 people. And God said, "That's too many." So they just give them a reprieve, so to speak. If your heart's fearful and you don't want to go to war, then you can just go ahead and step out. 22,000 stepped out. And Gideon had 10,000 left. And God said, "That's still too many." Said, "They'll vaunt themselves against me." In other words, they won't give me the glory. Amen. And I thought about the whittling down that took place in chapter number 7. We'll get to that after a while. How that the number was whittled down. And I'll be honest with you. It breaks my heart to see the ranks and the numbers amongst God's people being whittled down in these days. I'm talking about people that used to be faithful. People that used to teach our kids that we're missing. And I don't understand. I don't understand it. But I'm going to tell you something. God's still on the throne. Amen. And God is still God. Amen. Yeah. And God still allowed Gideon and the people to win. And I want you to know today, I believe it's time that we got our eyes back on Him. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Not on the numbers. As a matter of fact, God judged David for numbering the people. Amen. There's not a person in Bloomingdale that would love to see this church packed any more than I would love to see this church packed. But I'm telling you, if it takes changing Bibles and changing songbooks, it'll never be packed. I believe I'm talking to a group of people that are going to stay in the old-time way. Amen. We love Him. He's precious to us. We're too far down the road to change now. Amen. And I believe the Bible is going to help us today in this matter of winning with God against all odds. Let's pray. Father, thank You this morning for Your people. Thank You more than that, Lord, for Your presence. Thank You for Your power. Thank You, Lord. I can say it, it's true. You're precious to me. Thank You, Lord, for shedding that precious blood, saving my precious soul. Now I pray, dear Lord, today that you'd help us in the service. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. A simple message. I got three things to share with you this morning. The first thing is, there's a problem in the nation. Turn back with me to chapter 6, please, and verse number 1. There is a problem in the nation. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. Beloved, I want to say this morning. I'm going to encourage you to go home today and read chapter 6, chapter 7, and chapter 8 thoroughly. And read it over and read it over again. I believe it'll be a blessing to you. I'm not going to read all of the verses. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because of the Midianites. The children of Israel made them dens, which are in the mountains, and caves and strongholds. Can you get a picture of this? Beloved, Israel's hiding. Why? Because there's a problem in the nation. I believe that, beloved, listen, we're living in a country that I love, and I'm not sure that we ain't got too big for our britches, that we don't think, beloved, they can't nobody take us down. Say amen. They can't nobody hurt us. But I want to tell you this morning. Listen to me carefully. Half the people in our country believe we have a Republican problem. And the other half of the people in our country believe we have a Democrat problem. But this morning, my dear brother and sister, we've got a sin problem. That's our problem in this country. We've got a sin problem. I was looking at a little bit of news last week, and I was watching where that this woman came out, and I not trying to be mean, but I'm trying to let you know how foolish things are when you get away from God. You've got people that don't believe it's a baby in the womb, that believe it's the mother's right to take the baby anytime. Ralph Northam in Virginia was on the radio. I believe that's one of the reasons he wasn't reelected, thank God. He said you can lay the baby out on the counter and talk about it with the mother. I'm telling you, that's ridiculous. Say amen. But yet, if you are drunk and you run into a mother that's pregnant, you'll be charged with a double murder if you kill the mother and you kill that baby. But last week I was listening to this woman, and she was on the news. I don't run in those circles, amen, but it was on the news. And they said that baby actually has made up its mind in the womb whether it's going to be trans or not. Now, there's a contradiction there. Isn't that something, beloved, that's not a baby in there, but when it's convenient for us, we'll say that baby's thinking in there already about what that baby wants to be. I'm telling you, we're in a sick society, amen. And beloved, I'm telling you, listen, Israel had a problem. What was their problem? They did evil in the sight of the Lord. And we're living in a generation, God said it would come. They call evil good, and they call good evil. But beloved, what God called good is still good. And what God called evil is still evil. And that's never going to change for you, for me, or anybody else. Amen. They go into a town and 150 teenagers. You know what we need? We need some more mamas and we need some more daddies that realize that belt's for something besides holding your britches up. You say, I don't like that, preacher. I'm telling you what's the truth. Half of us wouldn't be sitting here if it wasn't for a mommy and a daddy that loved us enough to correct us. Amen. No telling where we'd be. Some of us would already be in hell. Amen. But somebody loved us enough to help us. 150 teenagers go into a store called a Wawa. It's like a 7-Eleven, a little convenience store. They got a little food in there. You say, how do you know? They used to have them in Maryland where I used to live. Please don't tell anybody I used to live there. But I did, amen. I lived there. I grew up there. I graduated. Best thing I've ever found in Maryland was my wife. Hallelujah. Amen. But I married her on Saturday and moved to Virginia on Sunday. Amen. I might have been lost, but I had a little bit of sense. Amen. I got her out of Dodge. Amen. I appreciate my wife. I really do. But I want you to know, beloved, them teenagers could go in there and just ransack that store. Listen to me carefully, beloved. And four of those stores shut down in that city. It hadn't ought to be that way, beloved. It shouldn't be the people that needs a job and the people that's got a business that's being punished. We're going to have to get back the law and order. Say amen. The lawlessness. But you say, Pastor, that you don't find that in the Bible. Oh, yes, you do. Read the last book, the last verse in the book of Judges said, and every man did that which was right in their own eyes. And we're right back there today. Amen. Every week, it seems like every time you turn the television on, there's a police officer or two police officers or three police officers being shot dead in cold blood. Amen. Because they have a bad and they represent the law of the land and the Constitution of the United States of America. You say, Pastor, you burdened? Yes, I am. Because, beloved, until God's people realize, listen, it's not a political problem. It's a sin problem that we have in our country. I believe with all of my heart they had a problem in the nation. I want you to see that. The Bible said here that in verse 1 down through verse number 10, the Bible said in verse 10, I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. Look at this word, but you have not obeyed my voice. Listen to me. If you think America has obeyed the voice of God, then there's no hope for you. Amen. We've not obeyed the voice of the Lord. We're going further and further and further and further away from the Bible, further and further and further away from prayer, further and further and further away from God. And beloved, we're paying a price. And I want to say this, I don't want to discourage you, but we ain't seen nothing yet. Amen. You say, Pastor, you're talking about winning. Yeah, if you're going to win, the first thing you got to realize is what needs to be fixed. The Bible said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. You say, Pastor, now listen to me. You say, there's just not enough of us. That's our problem. That's our problem. I'm trying to tell you in the Bible that God said 32,000 was too many and 10,000 is too many. I want 300, amen, 300 men. We got to get past that mentality. There's not enough of us. But listen, that remnant with the God of heaven can come out on the winning side, amen. And that's what God wants us to do against all odds. You say, Preacher, it's stacked against us. I understand that. And the stack's getting taller. But I'm going to tell you something. I serve a God that's taller than the stack. Amen. That taller. The Bible said no weapon that's formed against us will prosper. Look at verse 11. I want you to see this now. Not only there's a problem in the nation, but I want you to understand from the Scripture the people that God uses. The people that God uses. I believe Gideon is about one of the most unlikely candidates in the world. He just feels like, man, I'll read it to you. Who does God use? And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak. This is verse 11, which is in Ophrah. Please don't say Oprah. Amen. Make sure you put that PH in there. That pertained unto Joash, the Abiezrite, and the son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress, watch this now, to hide it from the Midianites. I said if something don't happen, if you grow a garden in America, if you grow a garden, you'll have to sit with a shotgun at night at the end of it, amen, to protect what you're growing, because they won't bother you when you're planting it. They won't bother you when you're hoeing it. They won't bother you when you're plowing it out, amen, but they'll want it when it's ripe. Say amen. You'll have to sit there and guard it. And so that's what Gideon's doing. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Drop down to verse number 15. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh. I want you to see that Gideon thought he couldn't help. He couldn't do anything. And yet God is wanting to use this man that thinks he can't do anything to lead in the victory.
Listen to me. We need God to raise up some people in our churches that might say, I might be poor, I might not have a good education, but if I've got God in my heart, I got access to the throne of God and I can pray, I can be used of God in this battle against sin in this country that we live in. Amen. Listen, Gideon said, I'm poor. He said, I'm the least in my father's house. You say, Pastor, who does God use? Let me give you several things quickly. Number one, he uses people that listen. That listen. You say, Pastor, I don't know where you got. I went through my Bible and underlined it. The Lord appeared in verse number 12 unto him and said unto him. And the Lord looked upon him in verse 14 and said, Go in this thy might. Thou shalt save Israel my hand. In verse 16, and the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. In verse 20, and the angel of God said unto him, Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay upon the rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. In verse 29 or 25, and it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, listen, in chapter 7, verse 2, and the Lord said unto Gideon. In verse 4, the Lord said unto Gideon. In verse number 7, and the Lord said unto Gideon. In verse number 5, and the Lord said unto Gideon. You know what we need? We need some people that will slow down, amen, long enough to hear what God said. Gideon was listening. He had an ear turned towards heaven, and God was speaking to him. You say, Pastor, we can't turn our ear toward heaven and God speak to us. Oh, but I tell you what we can do. We can turn our heart and we can turn our ear. This revelation is complete towards God's Word. Amen. And spend some time in the Word of God and get some orders from headquarters. I like what my brother said when he got saved. He said, this book is my instruction manual. Oh, hallelujah. Most of us men, we've got that pride about us. We're trying to put something together at Christmas time. We lay the instructions over there to the side. And then we have to take it all apart so that we can put that one part that we had left over back. How many's with me? Amen. You know what we need? We don't need to disregard the instruction manual. We need to pick it up and we need to read it and we need to obey it, and God will bless us, and against all odds, we can win with God. He listened. Watch this now. That's a positive. He listened. But Gideon questioned. You say, Pastor, he said in verse number 15, Oh my Lord, shall I save Israel? He had question marks. Listen, God's not using a person, listen to me carefully, that's confident in themselves. God doesn't want, the Bible said, Cursed is the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm. God is not looking for somebody to say, I can, I can, I can. God is looking for somebody to say, I can't, but Lord, you can through me. And that's what we've got right here. We've got Gideon, beloved. He's got some questions. But listen, God has the answers. The Word of God, and when Gideon questioned, even over in chapter number 6, later in the chapter when he puts the fleece of wool out, Gideon just wants to be sure, and God doesn't hold that against him. Amen. I can think of two times in my life that I put out a fleece before God. I couldn't get any help. I just was undecided about two. It was two different times I put out a fleece before God, and God didn't hold it against me either. Amen. God gave me some direction. I believe we ought to look in the Word of God. I believe God will answer us in the Word of God. But I tell you something, beloved, listen, God knows that we're flesh, and God knows that we have some questions. Sometimes some people say, well, you shouldn't question God. Tell that to Jesus hanging on an old rugged cross when he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Even knowing that was the very reason that he was born, was to go to Calvary and die and give his life. So there was the question. Gideon was human. And beloved, listen, God knew that. And God knew that Gideon needed some answers. Let me give you this. We see here, who does God use? Gideon's poor. Gideon's a man that listened. He's a man that questioned. He's a man that was human. But Gideon was a man that obeyed. Watch what the Bible said here. You say, Pastor, I would do what God told me to do. God just tell me what He wants me to do. Well, let me ask you this. Are you doing all that you know you're supposed to do now? You see, if we're not doing all that we know that we're supposed to do now, then, beloved, more instruction wouldn't help us. Amen? God has done given us plenty. Amen? And He wants us to do what we're supposed to do. Watch what Gideon does. And the Bible, the angel of the Lord, he gives Gideon this sign, the flesh, in verse number 20, the unleavened cakes that were laid upon the rock, and he said, pour out the broth, and the angel of the Lord put forth the end of his staff that was in his hand, and he touched the flesh of the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. I believe that the angel of the Lord in this chapter is none other than the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, He is exerting His presence, His power. He's wanting Gideon to know, beloved, listen, you're going to be facing a battle and it's going to look like you can't win. But with God, amen, against all odds, you'll be able to win this battle. And the Lord said, peace be unto thee. In verse 23, fear not, thou shalt not die. And He called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day, it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Look in verse 25. Came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is in it, that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. You say, if you read the rest of the verses there, Gideon did what he was instructed to do. I want to say this to you. Listen to me carefully. Would you go back with me just a moment? I want you to read a verse of Scripture with me. Look at verse 13 with me just for a moment. Would you please? This is really where this was all birthed in my heart. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, I can relate to this in the last few years. Oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all of this befallen us? And where be all His miracles which our fathers told us of? You see that right there? Would somebody be honest with me this morning? Have you not thought things like that? God, where are the people walking the aisles? Where are the young men surrendering to preach? Where are the young men that are surrendering and young ladies that are surrendering to the mission field? Where are the miracles? Where's the shouting? Where's the giving God glory in the church? Where's the joy unspeakable and full of glory? Pastors stand in front of congregations and say, where's the faithfulness?
There you go. Amen.
Watch this. Oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all the miracles which the fathers told us of? Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. I'm going to ask you a question. Did the Lord forsake them, or did they forsake the Lord? The Lord did forsake them, but before that happened, they forsook the Lord. You see where I'm coming from? Beloved, God is wanting us to understand here in the book of Judges, we can win, but not alone. We must win with God against all odds. The miracles, where are they? So here in the Word of God, what God's wanting to teach us is that many times, Brother Gary, the miracles are not going to come until something's tore down. You know what he had to do? Tear down the altars of Baal. He had to tear down the groves. And God said, I want you to do this. I want you to take the wood when you tear down the grove. Now watch this. If you listen to some people preach, that's what you think it's all about, tearing down. No, no, no. He said, I want you to build an altar unto the Lord. Beloved, I'll say this. In God's economy, if we're going to have real revival and we're going to win against all odds, amen, with God, there's always going to be some things in our lives that need to be torn down, and there's going to be some things in our lives that need to be built up. You say, Pastor, there's nothing in my life that needs to be tore down. I'm glad for you. Amen. Look at the checkbook. Look at your schedule. See what you have time for and what you don't have time for. Look and see. Look and see where you plan on being on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Where you plan on being on Sunday night at 6 o'clock. Where you plan on being on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Don't tell me, beloved, there's not some things that need to be tore down. And there's some things that need to be built up in God's people's lives. We can win, but not without God. We can win against all odds, but only when we line up with the God of heaven. Amen. I believe that in our family. I believe that in the house of God. I believe that in our country. I believe our country can be on the winning side again. But we're going to have to line up with God. We're going to have to repent. We're going to have to turn from our wicked ways. Well, remember what the Bible said. Judgment must first begin in the house of God. Remember what the Bible said. You say, well, Pastor, there's not a whole lot wrong in my life. Remember this, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Little things, if we're not careful, amen, little things will keep us from revival. Little things will keep us from the victory. Watch this now, and I'm finished. We see the problem in the nation. We see the people that God uses. They're human. They obey God. They might be poor. They might question God. But they listened to God. And all of that, the Bible said, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Amen. And he blew a trumpet. I'm not going to take the time to read all of chapter number 7, but I want to close the message with this today. What is the purpose that God has in his heart? Is the purpose of God, he's going to lead Gideon. He's going to lead the 300. They're going to win the battle against the Midianites. What is the purpose? So they can just stand up and say, we're winners. We won. Watch them run. No, that is not the purpose. If you'll look at the scripture in verse number 7, chapter number 7, verse number 1, then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the hosts of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. Now therefore go, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned to the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Can I remind you of something? Look at verse 12 in chapter number 7. The word of God said, and the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. You say whatever you want to. Gideon's just a man. I believe he's hoping all 32,000 will go with him. That's what the pastor always hopes. Everybody go with you. God said, no, everybody ain't going to go. Well, shoot, at least we got 10,000 left, Lord. Now, that's too many. You say, what's the purpose in all this? I'll tell you what the purpose is. Listen to me carefully. God's going to get the glory. You say, Pastor, how's this thing going to turn out? I have no idea down here how it's going to turn out. But I know this. God desires glory. God deserves glory. Help me this morning. And God has determined glory. Amen. The Bible said every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Aren't you glad we're already on the winning side? This world don't know it. But beloved, they're going to bend their knee. They're going to bow their knee. God is whittling this thing down. He says, now take them 10,000 down there and let them get a drink. Some of them are going to get a drink. They're going to be down on all fours. It'll be hard, but I'll try. They're going to be down like this right here. God said, you don't want them. You don't want them. Because you see, they put their head down. That's one thing that's happened to us in this generation, Houston. We put our head down. We're looking down and we're looking around and we ain't looking up. But 300 of them said, you said, what were they doing? They were watching for the enemy. And God said, that's the 300 I want you to take. Now, I'd say old Gideon, I mean, listen, I know Gideon's just a man. But Gideon's probably thinking, now, Lord, where are we going to get our tanks? Where are we going to get our bazookas? God said, no, I don't want you to take any tanks. You see, Gideon, honey, when this is done, everybody's going to know I did it. Here's what I want you to do. He said, I want you to take some trumpets, and I want you to take a pitcher, and I want you to put a lamp on the inside of the pitcher. And he said, do what I do. They split up and they surrounded the Midianites. Amen. And the Bible said, beloved, listen, Gideon blew that trumpet. They all blew their trumpets. They break their pitchers. Now, I pictured this, Brother Don. At first, I don't know exactly how they broke them, whether they just hit them on a rock or I don't know how they did it, because the trumpet's in their right hand. You can read it there in the Scripture. And the pitcher's in their left hand. You see what I mean? So maybe they took the trumpet and hit the pitcher with it. I don't know. But I know this. When that pitcher was broken, the light came out. They blew the trumpets. And they all hollered, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And you know what God did? He turned them on themselves. And they took their own swords. You say, Pastor, what is the purpose in all this? God's going to let them win. And they ain't even going to fire a shot. God's going to get the glory. You say, Pastor, do you really believe that happened just like... Yes, I do. And it's a problem in our churches when we don't believe that that happened just like God said it happened. I was telling Brother John in the vestibule a while ago something Brother Don I never associated with. But when the pitcher was broken, the light came out. Our Lord's body was broken on an old rugged cross. And the Bible said the light shined in darkness. Oh, glory to God, I just saw that. You remember? It was completely dark for 6 hours. You remember that? It said the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Amen. I'll tell you something, listen, we're not going to win because we're somebody. We're not going to win because of the name on the sign. We're not going to win because of the pastor's name. We're not going to win because of you. We're not going to win because of our missionaries. But we're going to win because of Him. Against all odds, God's people are going to win. Amen. God might be whittling down in these days. I don't know. I don't enjoy it. I'll be honest with you. I do not enjoy it. Would anybody be concerned about me if I just showed up half the time? No, you wouldn't be concerned about me. You'd fire me. No, you can't do that because Sawyer said you didn't harm me. Amen. Y'all will get that after a while, maybe. Amen. God's good, ain't he? Brother Wayne, let's not be depressed. Hard, ain't it, buddy? It is. It is for me, too. But we need to understand, God put these scriptures back there for our admonition, for our learning. And beloved, there's one interpretation, but there could be many applications. And I believe God is making an application even in our day. Amen. Let me say this to you. I'm done. Finished. The Bible, I won't get it exactly right, but it gives us this thought. When the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? Think about the faith that Gideon had. Think about the faith that 300 men had. The Midianites are like grasshoppers. And their animals were that way too. Said you couldn't number them. They were like the number of the sea. And against all odds. You see, they weren't looking at the odds. And they weren't looking at the enemy. They were looking to their God. And their God said, you'll win. Just keep your eyes on me. Beloved, I want to encourage you this morning. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Because we win with God against all odds. We can't lose. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. You say, Paul's the one that wrote the scripture. Thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph through our Lord Jesus Christ. You got to know, Brother Mike, that there were times in Paul's life it didn't look like he was winning. 5 times of the Jews, I received 40 stripes, save one. What's 39 times 5? I had that a little while back in my head. 40 times 5 would be 200, wouldn't it? 44, yeah, that'd be right. So it'd be 195 stripes on his back. He'd been stoned, left outside the city for dead. He had been in shipwreck. He had been in jail. He said, man, he's a loser. He knew better. That's what we need. He said, Pastor, the church is not full. That's what we need, is to be looking unto Him. Amen. Because with Him, we can't lose. It may look like in the eyes of the world. And by the way, let me just say this, Brother John, where they're having their rock concerts this morning and the parking lots is plumb full, it may look like they're winning. Everything ain't what it looks like. God knows what's real. He knows what's real. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. Thank you for Gideon, Lord. Lord, I look forward to meeting him in heaven. I look forward to meeting those 300 men. Went out there in the battle with a trumpet and a lamp and a pitcher. They believed you, Lord. God, you've dealt with my heart this week. You've dealt with me, Lord, about unbelief. God, I just pray you'll help us in these days to be what you'd have us to be. to do what you'd have us to do. Lord, most of all, the songwriter said, draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. God, would you draw me nearer to thee? Would you draw us nearer to one another? Draw us as a church nearer to thee. Help us this day, our Lord, to be found faithful. Lord, I pray this morning that you will speak to the heart of the unsaved. Speak to the heart of that Christian, our Father, that, Lord, they used to pray. But Lord, something's crept in. There's a wall between you and them now. The heavens are brass. God, I pray that this morning they'd find victory in their life. Lord, whatever that is that needs to be torn down would be torn down. That, Lord, that we might have an altar built up, a place to talk to thee, a place to walk with thee. God, I pray this morning for those that might be considering membership in our church, God, that you'd lead them. God, that they'd just come and help us get this good news out, Lord, to this community. Lord, that you'd just help us to serve you with gladness till you come. In Jesus' name, let's stand together.